pick up where we left off last week. Romans chapter 8. And in Bible, we understand the situation, number one. Number two, we have to understand how the Holy Spirit desires to work in and through us as believers. And there are many things in life that we may not have a full, complete understanding about, but the Holy Spirit shouldn't be one of those things. He is the third person of the Godhead, and God sent him into the earth for a purpose. We need to understand what that purpose is. So let's begin with Romans chapter 8, and this will propel us forward into our lesson for today. And I want to emphasize a few verses of Scripture. Let's begin with verse 8, Romans chapter 8. Paul, writing to this church by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said this. He's writing to born-again, Spirit-filled believers. He says in verse 8, so they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God, notice these next three words, dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ, notice these next three words, be in you. The body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, notice these next three words, dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that, here are these three words again, dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die, but if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Notice verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit and His gifts. And we looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 last week and talked about three gifts that say something. Prophecy, diverse kinds of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. But there's one thing that we must know and always be aware of, and that is that the Holy Spirit lives in you. If you've given your life to Christ, if you've been born again, the Holy Spirit makes His home in you. In Romans chapter 8, we just read those verses that tell us four times that He dwells in you. And then verse 14 says, they that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Well, if the Spirit of God dwells in you, it would stand to reason that He's going to lead you from the inside out, not from the outside in. Only immature Christians look for leadership and guidance through circumstances and through things that happen. And we've all heard it, we've all seen it. Well, you know, the sun comes up on the left side of the bed, oh, it's the will of God for me to go to church. Well, the sun comes up in the same place every day, and it has for millennia, and it'll still do it. As long as the earth remains, there'll be day and night. The sun's not changing direction. But rather than be led by circumstances, we should be led by the Holy Spirit within. We should be led by the Word of God, because He's the author of the Word. And the Word says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. So it's the will of God for you to go to church on Sunday morning. Amen? Whether the sun comes up on the left side or the right side, it's the will of God for you to come to church in the morning. So, we need to be led by the Spirit of God. Now, why am I emphasizing this? Many people look for something out here for guidance in their lives. They're not conscious and aware of God's indwelling presence. That's why people who do psychic stuff are reaping great rewards. You know, because there are people looking for supernatural guidance. Well, you should never, Christians should never fall into that category. You know, that's something that's been forbidden all throughout the Scripture. You know, witches and mediums and things like that. In fact, you know, if you want an indication of how silly and how phony that stuff is, there's an account in the Old Testament where King Saul, after the Spirit of God departed from him, and the prophet Samuel had died, King Saul decided to go down to a witch to get some guidance. And this witch was in a town called Endor. So he goes to the witch of Endor and pays her money so that she can conjure up the spirit of Samuel. And so she did her little thing. But what she didn't expect happened. Samuel really came up and appeared in the room. And when the spirit of Samuel came into that room, the witch of Endor passed out, hit the floor, boom, scared the daylights out of her. And Samuel said to Saul, "Why are you bothering me? What are you doing?" Now, that shows you how phony it is. Because, you know, witches and mediums and all of these people do some supernatural things, and they know things supernaturally, but it doesn't mean it came from the Holy Spirit. Amen? And so we have to be careful. Now, why am I emphasizing this? For one main reason. If you're not familiar with what is true and genuine, you'll never be able to spot a counterfeit. You won't know how to spot a counterfeit $100 bill if you don't know what the real one looks like. So we need to be familiar with the Holy Spirit and His gifts, the way He manifests Himself, so that we're not taken by something that's similar but not the same. Are you with me? So, the Holy Spirit leads us from within, not from without. So, for all intents and purposes, we are to not to squash prophecy or despise it, but we need to judge it. In other words, we don't judge the person, but we judge what is said. In other words, does it line up with God's Word, number one? Does it bear witness with what the Holy Spirit is telling me on the inside, number two? As I said last week, don't marry somebody just because they prophesied the Lord told me to tell you. You with me? If you don't know it on the inside, leave it alone. Because people's lives have been messed up by folk who were sincere, but many times they were sincerely wrong. Now, turn with me your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And let's pick up where we left off last week. Talking about the manifestations of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Are they still for us today?
Yes.
They have not passed away. In fact, God saw fit to devote several chapters of the New Testament to that subject so that we would know and understand it today. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning with verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Now in this chapter, Paul's apostle is teaching us that the Holy Spirit manifests himself or does things several different ways. And for sake of understanding, we can clarify these gifts or manifestations like this. There are three gifts or manifestations that say something. Those are prophecy, diverse kinds of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. There are three gifts or manifestations that reveal something. Those are the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. Notice it's not the gift of discerning. Have you ever had somebody say to you, "Well, I'm just going to, you know, I have the gift of discernment and I know that's not right." Well, if you got common sense, you know that's not right. You don't need gifts. spirits is the ability to see into the realm of spirits. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. Then there are three gifts or manifestations that do something. Those are faith, or special faith, working of miracles, and gifts of healings. Now, gifts is plural in the original language. Gifts of healings. Now, you might say, well, but Pastor Young, you know, I heard those things passed away. Well, I don't know where you heard that. There's no place in the New Testament. In fact, a little further in the chapter, Paul says in verse 28, and God has set some in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Listen to me. If God has set these things in the church, who are we to arbitrarily remove them? That's a mistake.
Amen.
Amen. God has set these things in the church. We need to understand how they operate. I am convinced that there are churches all around the world, and sitting in the pews in many of these churches, if not most of them, are people who are graced with gifts of healings and working of miracles, but because they've never been taught and those gifts have never been developed, they'll never be expressed. And there are some people who will live and die because those gifts were never expressed. Well, my job is to teach you how these gifts operate. Amen? Now, notice that he said, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. It does not say that these gifts are given to the preachers or the clergy. But the manifestation is given to every man. That means every man and every woman to profit withal. In other words, we all benefit when those gifts are expressed through the body. You might say, well, Pastor Bill, I've never heard anything like that. Well, keep coming. We'll hear some more.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
We've often thought that God only uses preachers. That's not true. The Bible never taught that.
Amen.
How many of you are familiar with the first deacons in the church? Who can tell me what chapter I can go through in the book of Acts to find something about the first deacons? Charlie, you know. I know. Anybody tell me? Acts chapter 6. It says the Hebrews, some widows, the widows were being neglected in the daily ministry. In other words, they weren't being fed. There were women who were widows indeed, had no support. And you have to understand, in the ancient world, there was no welfare system. And so these women would starve. And so the church took it upon themselves to minister to these women who truly had no other means of support. And some of them weren't being fed. And so there arose a murmuring in the church. And so the apostle jumped in with both feet, trying to do that and minister. And they realized they couldn't do it all. And so they said in Acts chapter 6, choose out seven men, and here's some good qualifications, of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Valerie and I were talking about this last night. Qualifications for people who serve. Honorable men, full of the Holy Ghost, full of wisdom, who we may appoint over this business. There is seven men who were chosen as deacons. Now, what was their ministry? Feeding widows. Everybody say that. Feeding widows. It was not pulpit ministry. It was not teaching, preaching ministry. Y'all still out there?
Amen.
Feeding widows. And the Bible says about one of them, Stephen, it says, mighty signs and wonders were wrought by his hand. Now, where did these mighty signs and wonders take place? While he was standing behind a podium? No, he didn't have a podium to stand behind. While he was ministering to these hungry women, God worked miracles through his hands. And so is the case with some of you. When you find your place and get involved and start serving and helping, God in time will move through you to heal and to deliver people.
Amen.
And you don't have to be a preacher. I often give the testimony of one of our greeters at our church in Tulsa. Her name was Ida. Ida and her husband were a retired couple. get involved and help with her local church. And so they needed people to greet people as they came to the door, so Ida volunteered. And so one Saturday night, before Ida went to bed, she had a little mini vision. That's the way she explained it. She said, "I saw a man walk through the doors in a blue leisure suit." Now, leisure suits were long out of style. She said, "An older man in a blue leisure suit. And I saw myself hugging him and dancing in the foyer of the church." She didn't know what it meant. But the next morning, she came to church and was at her post at the door. And through that door walked in an older man, stiff as a board, wearing a blue leisure suit. I saw him, and something welled up within her, and she ran over and grabbed him and started dancing with him right at the porch. Later on, that man testified and said, "I've never been to this church before. I don't do church." The only time he went to church was when somebody got married or buried. He didn't do church. His wife was coming to the church, and she'd been trying to get him to come. Well, the reason he didn't do church was he had a bad back, and it hurt him to sit for any length of time anywhere. And so she finally coaxed him to come to church, and all he had in his closet was an old blue leisure suit. Old Polish guy. And he put on that leisure suit and walked through the door, stiff as a board, because his back was hurting. And Ida ran over to him, grabbed him, and started dancing in the aisle, and God healed his back instantly. Ida was used by God that morning to minister to the guy in the blue leisure suit. Amen? That's the way church should be. And nobody from the pulpit touched the guy. But God healed him because the greeter was obedient to do what she'd seen. And thus it is, that's how the Holy Spirit wants to use the body of Christ, the church. Amen. Now, last week we talked about gifts that say something. And I'd like to show you something here from, let's go to Acts chapter 21. Acts chapter 21. We were talking about prophecy last week and diverse kinds of tongues and interpretation of tongues. I shared some examples from my own life. Most of the time when God has used me that way, it's not something that I sought, but it happened in a moment. Many times the Holy Spirit would rise up within me and all I would have is the first sentence. But I learned to trust Him because there's always a blessing on the other end. Now, why does the Holy Spirit manifest Himself like that? The purpose of supernatural gifts is to get people's attention, not to save them. People are saved by hearing the gospel preached. But gifts of the Spirit will bring people deliverance and get their attention. Now, Acts chapter 21. I want to show you something about prophecy. We'll start with verse 8. If you got it, say, "I got it." All right, notice verse 8. It says, "And the next day we that were of Paul's company departed and came to Caesarea. And we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven." This is one of the guys who was one of the first deacons in the church of Jerusalem. "And abode with him. The same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy." In other words, God used Philip's daughters to give inspired utterance. Notice verse 10. "And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come to us, he took Paul's girdle, or his belt, and bound his hands and feet, and said, Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews of Jerusalem bind the man that owns this girdle, and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go to Jerusalem." Now, here we can see a distinct difference between women or girls who prophesied and the ministry of a prophet. To prophesy means to speak by inspiration. And prophecy in its simple form has nothing to do with the future. Absolutely nothing. It is an inspired utterance in the language that you know that will edify, that will exhort, and that will comfort. And when those words well up within you, you don't have to say, yea, thus saith the Lord, or hey, thus saith God. Or as I heard one guy say, if you listen to my prophet, I'm like, come on. You know, if the Lord inspires you to say something to somebody, drop all the preconditions and just say it. You with me?
Yeah.
Don't get all spiritual. You know? So many things people do are so unnecessary. Like I shared on the radio broadcast this morning, John chapter 5, Jesus goes down to the pool of Bethesda, and there's a multitude of sick folks. And he sees one man who's been laying there for a long time, had been unable to walk for 38 years. And Jesus didn't do any religious ritual. He asked the guy a question, will you be made whole? He said, I don't have anybody put me in the pool. Every time the water stirs, somebody beats me to it. Jesus said, get up, pick up your bed, go home. That's it. He didn't touch it. He didn't spit on it. He did spit on some people. He didn't spit on this guy. He didn't anoint him with oil. He didn't get up and say, yea, thus saith God. He just said, get up, pick up your bed, go home. The guy was instantly healed. Power of God in him. He got up, was able to walk, started rolling up his cot, started heading for the house. And it caused such a stir at that pool that it was a near riot. Because everybody knew that guy. And everybody knew he couldn't walk. And what just happened? Wait, the miracles are over here. But he's gotten up, he's walking, what's going on? And it was simple. Get up, pick up your bed, go home. That was it. So when the Lord inspires you to say something to somebody, just say it. You don't have to add a tagline to it. Amen? You don't have to shake your head. You know, there's one woman, when she prophesies, she shakes her head like a windmill. You don't have to do that. I'm not saying she's not used to God. I'm just saying you don't have to do that. Amen? Because what you say will have an impact on the people that you speak to. You don't need any taglines. Just say it. Just say it. Just say it. And when the Spirit of God rises up within you to do something like that, just obey. Just follow through. If it happens here on the surface, just get my attention. Just get my attention. You know, don't worry about it. You'll be fine. Are you with me? Well, you know, Sister So-and-so always prophesied. Not all the time. I don't always prophesy. It's on rare occasions. But when he moves on me, I know what to do. And then we need to be mature in our understanding of spiritual things. All right? If God gives you something to say and it's in a language you don't know, give it. He'll give you the interpretation or he'll give it to somebody else. If he does, then just have a happy time. Be with me. But we need to edify each other. And that's what prophecy is for. Gifts that say something. Now, if somebody prophesies something to you and it doesn't line up with what the Scripture says, here's what you do with it. There's a round file in your house called File 13. Put it in there. What is File 13? That's called the wastebasket. Alright? If somebody prophesies something to you and it doesn't line up with the Scripture, or if it doesn't bear witness with what the Lord has told you in your heart, just put it on the shelf and forget about it. Alright? You don't have to get all upset. You don't have to leave the church. Oh, she's a false prophet. No, she just missed it. You with me? If some guy prophesies to you, the Lord told me you're supposed to marry you, or you're supposed to marry me, then, you know, if God had spoken to you, don't do that. That's an old con game. I learned that one a long time ago. I used to watch people do it. You know. I won't get out of the road. Thank God. Amen. Alright, turn with me to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. These are things that are very, very important. Now, remember we looked at Romans chapter 8, where four times he said, the Spirit of God dwells in you, dwells in you, dwells in you, dwells in you. So he leads us from the inside out. Notice something about the Holy Spirit that Jesus said in John 16. John 16, 13. Notice what he said. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So he'll guide you in the truth is eternal, it never changes, and he'll show you things to come, things change. But here's what I want you to gather from this verse. It is the nature of the Holy Spirit to reveal things. So it should be a normal part of our lives when the Holy Spirit reveals things. There are times the Lord reveals things to me, and it's not just because I'm a pastor. Now, there are times he does reveal things to me because of the office that I stand in. And many times I know something months before it happens. And so I'm not surprised. Are you with me? But there have been times he'll reveal things in such an unusual way. You can see it. You can hear it. One time I had a conversation with a person. And this is many, many years ago. And I asked them to do something, and they responded, you know, with their, oh, sure. And the Holy Ghost said two words to me. That's all he said, two words. And it took me by surprise, but I heard it. And here's what he said, she's done. That's it. She's done. Well, I knew what that meant. That meant she won't be with us long. You with me? And it's amazing. God has a sense of humor at times, but this is years ago. And so I didn't say anything, but I knew what was going to happen. And so when it happened months down the road, I wasn't surprised. I wasn't taken aback. I wasn't shocked. Y'all with me? The Holy Spirit will reveal things. See, he talks to us all the time. The problem is we don't listen and we don't understand what he's saying. Okay, as you walk in the Word, then His voice becomes very, very familiar. Becomes very familiar. Now, it is the nature of the Holy Spirit to reveal things, so we should not be surprised. Here's another verse of Scripture I want you to write down. Don't turn there. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27. Proverbs 20, 27. Says, the Spirit of man is the lamp or the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Now, what does that mean? That simply means that God enlightens us from within, in our spirit. He turns on the light. And you can see and know things on the inside long before your brain catches up with it. Now, let's look at the word of knowledge in operation. Turn with me in your Bible to the Old Testament, 2 Kings, 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Okay, 2 Kings chapter 5. Now, this is the account of when Naaman, the Syrian chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, if you will, of the Syrian king, had come to Israel to be healed of his leprosy. And he came to the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent his helper, Gehazi, out to give him the word of the Lord. And Gehazi came out on the front porch and said, "Here's the word of the Lord. You shall dip 7 times in the Jordan River, and your flesh shall be healed." Naaman got angry. He thought, the guy didn't come out of the house. He sent his flunky out here. Does he know who I am? And of all the rivers, I got to dip in the Jordan, which was muddy. He said, I got all these nice rivers back home to dip in. And he was furious. And one of his friends said, look, if he'd asked you to do something hard, you'd have done it. What's the deal? Dip. Well, when he dipped 7 times, he came up the 7th time and his flesh was clean like a baby's. So now he's so thankful he goes back to the home of Elisha. Elisha does come out to have a conversation with him. And he offers Elisha money, silver, and clothing. And Elisha said, now's not the time to receive an offering. There is a time to receive an offering, but that wasn't it. And so he bid him farewell. Now, as he is leaving on his way back to Syria, this is where we pick up the account, 2 Kings 5, verse 20. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, behold, my master has spared Naaman, this Syrian, in not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord lives, I will run after him and take somewhat of it. So Gehazi followed after Naaman. And when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from his chariot to meet him and said, it's all well. And he said, all is well. My master has sent me. Now what is he doing? He's lying. My master has sent me, saying, behold, even now, there come to me from Mount Ephraim 2 men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, 1 talent of silver. Now, 1 talent of silver in ancient times was about 1 year's wages. 1 talent of silver in today's economy would be worth about $40,000. And give them 1 talent of silver and 2 changes of garments. And Naaman said, be content, take 2 talents. And he urged him and bound 2 talents of silver in 2 bags and 2 changes of garments and laid them upon 2 of his servants and they bare them before him. And he took them from their hand, bestowed them in the house, and let the men go and they departed. But he went in and stood before his master. And Elisha said to him, Gehazi, quit then. And he said, your servant went nowhere. No place, boss. And he said to him, went not my heart with you when the man turned from his chariot to meet you? Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments, olive yards, vineyards, sheep and oxen, men servants and maid servants? Now, why did Elisha say that? Because he knew what was in Gehazi's heart. Gehazi knew with $80,000 he could improve his lot in life. Not only could he buy a nice place, but he could get him a little vineyard and olive garden. Who knows? He could hire in somebody to clean the house. All of these things were running through Gehazi's mind when he took those 2 talents of silver from Naaman. And he hid them in his place and thought nobody was the wiser. But Elisha said, by the Spirit of God, didn't my spirit go with you? In other words, Elisha saw it like he was there. But he gave Naaman a chance to get this thing right. God is always merciful. And he asked him, where you been? There was his out. There was his opportunity to make it right. He could have said, master, I messed up. I just couldn't stand to see that money go down the road. And I went down there and I asked for some money and some changes of clothes. I told him a lie. He could have rectified it, but he didn't. Elisha said to Gehazi, where have you been? He said, nowhere. He said, didn't my spirit go with you when Naaman got out of his chariot to meet you? And notice what he said. in verse 26. Went not my heart with you when the man turned again from his chariot to meet you? Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards, sheep and oxen, men servants and maid servants? The leprosy, therefore, of Naaman will cleave to you and to your seed forever. And he went out from the presence of Elisha, a leper as white as snow. And so here Gehazi thought he got over. You never get over. Are you with me? But Elisha knew by the Spirit of God exactly what he'd done, and he heard exactly what was said. Now, what was that? That was a word of knowledge. We know that God knows everything, but there are times he will take a part of what he knows and drop it into your spirit or reveal it to you. And many times he does it with very specific detail, not vague generalities. A word of knowledge is a revelation of facts that exist in the mind of God that are past or present. And there are times God will take a word of what he knows and drop it in your spirit. Now, many times it can happen different ways. Many times you'll see it. There are times you'll hear it. And sometimes you'll just know it. You with me? You will just know. There have been times a word of knowledge has come to me, and it's been... I remember one time, the first time it happened with me, I was on my way to preach at a little church in Newcastle, Pennsylvania, called St. John's Holy Church. They invited me to preach in an evening service. And so, you know, very young in ministry, hadn't been to Bible college yet, and so I'm sweating bullets trying to get something together, the Lord gave me a message to share with them. And it was just a new experience to me. You know, one of my first times preaching away from my home church in another church. And before I got there, it was like I just saw four people who had certain conditions, and it was strange to me. There was one person that said it felt like there was a vice around their head and somebody kept tightening. Somebody else had another condition. Somebody else had another condition. Well, I don't understand what this is. I have no idea what it is. And so I got there, I preached my message, I sat down, and the pastor asked if anybody needed prayer, and invited me up to pray for people. And so I'm praying with people, and I asked the first person, I said, "What can I pray with you about?" And she said to me, "I've got such a pain in my head. It's like somebody has a vice on my head, and they keep twisting and twisting and getting tighter." I knew that. I knew that hours before I showed up at the service. Now I'm kind of stuck. But I laid hands on her, and the Lord healed her. The next person said exactly what I see. And so did the other two. Four in a row. Why did that happen? I don't know. I think the Lord was preparing me and showing me something. That he knew what was there before I showed up.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Amen.
There were other times when I would minister places. I was at a service one time, and I wasn't even preaching that night. And we were worshiping the Lord in a time of worship. It was an evening service. And I heard a word. Like the Lord spoke a word to me. And I heard it. And I had no idea what it meant or who it was for. And it was a time, and so the pastor said, "Anybody got anything?" And this word rose up within me. I'd never heard that word before. And the word was mastoid. What is a mastoid? I didn't know what a mastoid was. And so I said, "I don't know who this is for, but I heard the word mastoid. I don't even know what it is." Well, the man standing behind me with his hand raised said, "I know what it is. I was at the doctor today. That's the gland that produces saliva." And he said, "Mine doesn't work." I said, "Well, then we'll after the night." Amen. God healed his mastoid gland. Well, how can I know that? Other than by the Spirit. That's the only way it could have done. And so there are times the Holy Spirit will do things like that. Because he cares so much about people. Amen. Let's look at another example. We're in 2 Kings. Go to chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. Talking about gifts that reveal. 2 Kings chapter 6, and let's start with verse 8. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with the servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that you pass not such a place, for there the Syrians are waiting for you. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him to warn him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. And the king of Israel was delivered because of what Elisha told him. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said to them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? In other words, who's the spy? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel, he tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. Now, how could Elisha know what the king of Syria was saying in his bedroom by the Holy Ghost? And he warned the king of Israel, said, watch out, because the Syrians have set an ambush for you in such and such a place. And the king was delivered more than twice. And so the king of Syria thought he had a spy. Every time we set an ambush, the guy knows about it. Now, I want you to follow along and watch the rest of this story. And go down to verse 11. Go to verse 12. One of the servants said, none, O Lord my king, but Elisha the prophet that's in Israel tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And behold, it was told him, saying, behold, he's in Dothan. Therefore he sent there horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an army compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And the servant said to him, alas, master, how shall we do? Notice what Elisha said to him. Fear not. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they were come down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, and he said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote him with blindness according to the word of Elisha. I tell you what, you don't want to mess with this guy. Now, notice that this helper wakes up and sees the Syrian army surrounding the city. And comes to Elisha and says, oh, master, what are we going to do? And Elisha says with confidence, there are more with us than with them. And then he said, Lord, open his eyes. Now, he wasn't talking about his physical eyes. He's talking about the eyes of his spirit. And God opened the eyes of the spirit, and he saw the angelic host surrounding Elisha. In other words, he enabled that young man to see into the realm of spirits. Listen, those angels were there all the time. He just couldn't see them. But there are times the Holy Spirit will manifest himself, and you can see into the realm of spirits. That is discerning of spirits. Now, how do you control something like that? You can't. That happens as the Lord wills. We can't control that. Turn that on, turn that off. Are you with me? Now, here's a little sideline. Beware you people who see a demon behind every bush and a devil on every doorknob. There are some people who specialize in that kind of thing. I had a distant relative one time that picked out of the house and somebody told me, your house, the devil's out of there. So he's running around with a little bottle of oil and running around the hospital and all this stuff. Mom said, what in the world are you doing? He said, I'm getting the devils out of this house. And she said, I know what's getting out of this house. You. Okay? Listen, there are more angels than there are demons, okay? And there are times the Lord will allow you to see into the realm of spirits, but he'll do it for a reason, so that you can pray, so that you can know and be safe and know that you're secure. It's not so you can do dumb stuff. Okay? Visions are not something that you seek. No place in the Bible does it say seek a vision. You know, I'm a fast 30 days till I see something. Yeah, you're going to see something. These things happen as the Holy Spirit will. Don't try to force these things. Are you with me? But here, Elisha not only had a word of knowledge and knew about the plans of the king of Syria, but he was able to pray that his servant would see into the realm of spirits for a reason, so he would feel comfort and know that they were secure. And it's funny what Elisha did with the Syrian army. The Lord struck him with blindness, and he said, "You're looking for Elisha? Here I am." So the king of Israel, he took him to the king of Israel. The king of Israel said, "Man, let's kill him." He said, "Nah, I think they learned a lesson. Let's just send them home." And he did. But when you've been struck blind by the glory of God, that'll get your attention.
Amen.
And then you'll think twice before you go down there next time. Amen. Now, isn't it interesting that the Holy Spirit manifested through Elisha differently than he did through Elijah? When Elijah, his mentor, was confronted by the army from Jezebel, he called fire down from heaven on two occasions and just obliterated the whole bunch. And the third time, the captain came to him on his knees begging. He says, "Please, Master, please. Please don't call on God. Please, if you would just kindly come with me. The king has sent me, but I know you have the power to call on Jehovah, and he will obliterate us. Please have mercy on us. And if you would just come with us, everything will be okay." And he went with it. Amen? These are the kind of guys you don't want to mess with. Amen? Okay. Now, turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 9. Back up.
1 and 2 Kings, go to the left. Let's go to 1 Samuel.
Holy Spirit will reveal things at times. And he does it many different ways. 1 Samuel chapter 9. Got it?
Yes.
Notice what it says. "Now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Bichor," and on. A Benjamite, mighty man of power. "And he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man, goodly, and there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders upward he was higher than any of the people. And the asses of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to Saul his son, 'Take now one of the servants with you, and go find these donkeys.'" Now, let's go down a little further, go down to verse 6. "And he said to him, 'Behold now, there is in this city a man of God. He's an honorable man. All that he says surely comes to pass. Now let's go there, and peradventure he can show us our way that we should go.' And when Saul said to his servant, 'Behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread is spent in our vessels, and there's not a present to bring the man of God. What do we have?' And the servant answered Saul again and said, 'Behold, I have here in my hand the fourth part of a shekel of silver that I'll give the man of God to tell us our way.'" Now, before time in Israel, when the man went to inquire of God, thus he spake, "Come, and let us go to the seer. For he that is now called a prophet was before time called a seer." Now, that's where the word prophet comes from. Because he would see things supernaturally, or know things supernaturally. And so you can see a correlation with the word prophet and seer. A prophet has revelation. A prophet does more than just prophesy or preach. Thus, a prophetess is not a female preacher. Are you all out there? You're not a prophet unless you have revelation. You can preach the hair off a bear, but unless you have revelation, you're not a prophet or a prophetess. See, culturally, we pick up stuff because we heard somebody else say it. You know, prophetess so-and-so. Well, she might be, she might not be. Prophet so-and-so. Well, he might be, he might not be. But here you can see the ministry of a prophet in operation in Elijah and Elisha. You know, there's some prophets who prophesy for money. That's not God. Are you with me?
Yeah.
We'll talk about that later. Amen. I could get off on there and teach for a week. But I'm not sure of the church. Now, notice, they went to Samuel because he was the seer or the prophet. Notice verse 11. And as they went up to the hill to the city, they found young maidens going out to draw water, and they said, "Is the seer here?" And they answered them and said, "He is, behold, he's before you. Make haste now, for he came today to the city, for there's a sacrifice of the people today at the high place." Now they went down and found Samuel. Notice verse 14. And they went up into the city, and when they were come to the city, behold, Samuel came out to meet them, for to go up to the high place. Now the Lord told Samuel in his ear a day before Saul came, saying, "Tomorrow about this time I'll send you a man out of the land of Benjamin, and you will anoint him to be captain over my people Israel, that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines, for I have looked upon my people, because their cry has come to me." Now when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said to him, "Behold, the man that I spoke to you of, the same shall reign over my people." So the day before Saul showed up, Samuel heard in his ear that he would meet the next king the next day. And when Saul presented himself before Samuel, the Lord said to Samuel, "This is the man." And so Saul said, "Hey, I'm here to find my father's donkeys." He said, "The donkeys were found 4 days ago." How did he know that? By the Spirit. How did he know he was the next king of Israel? By the Holy Ghost. A word of knowledge. And he proceeded to anoint him to be the next king over Israel. And so here you can see the Holy Spirit manifesting himself. Not only did he reveal something that was known, but he had a word of wisdom with it. He knew he was to be Israel's next king. And so there are times that the Lord will drop into your spirit things that have taken place or things that are taking place. There are also times He'll reveal to you things that will happen in the future.
Amen.
That is revelation. Now, revelation doesn't mean something new. It just means the cover's been pulled off so you know what's already happened. Are you with me? The revelation gifts of the Spirit function in our lives as believers, not only in corporate gatherings, but in our lives individually. In our lives individually. There are times the Lord will reveal things to you if you spend time with it. And you'll know things before they happen. Wouldn't it be nice if we got a little insight before things happen? Save us a whole lot of trouble. Amen. Save us a whole lot of trouble. Have you ever been in a situation where you did something or said something and afterwards it all went wrong and you said to yourself, "I knew I shouldn't have done that"? Huh? I've been there. How did you know? The Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you. Maybe He told you what you needed to know. Amen? That little flash I had a few moments ago. The Lord said something to me in 1983, and all these years I didn't figure it out. I just got it. And if I'd have got it back then, it could have changed some things. But I thought about it and thought, okay. You know? And but I just figured out what He said. Wow. Amen. Isn't God good? God cares about us so much and our lives individually that He will move supernaturally to make sure we're in the right place, to help us avoid trouble, to help us avoid the wrong person, or to find the right person. Amen? Just as Samuel found the right person because God sent him there and gave him information the day before, the next day, "I'm sending a man to you. This is the next king of Israel." We need to live our lives by revelation. Not living flying by the seat of our pants. You know, floating day to day. Whatever happens will happen. And you better start changing some things. Amen? And the Lord will reveal things to you just like He does me or anybody else. Amen? Would you stand with me, please?
Dismissing, we're going to have the Lord's Supper. But we just want to pray for people this morning.
inspires you to do and or say something, take all the spiritual tags off and just walk in love and be a blessing to you. Amen? Don't try to do it the way somebody else does it. Don't try to say it the way I say it. You don't have to rhyme. You don't have to do any of that stuff. Just be a blessing to people. The Lord inspires you to say something to somebody that will help them, encourage them, strengthen them. Just do it. I told a story not long ago about the time I was helping a guy. We're moving furniture. Moving furniture. And I'm in front of his apartment. And I got up in the bed of my truck. And I looked at him. And I just knew from the Spirit what he had told me. And I said, do you know who the next pastor of such and such church is? And he looked at me and he said, who? I said, it's you. And he said, are you prophesying to me? I said, I'm just telling you what the Spirit of God said. Well, he's the pastor of that church today. Amen. Now, everybody would have thought I'd been the pastor because I was helping in that church. But that wasn't the will of God. It was for him. And so the Lord had me tell him so he could prepare himself and get ready. And many times the Lord does the same thing with you. He reveals things to you, not just so you can have advanced information, but so you can get ready for things. And many times we're looking for God to swoop down like Superman from the chandelier and do something miraculous when he's given information every day. And if you'll take that information and act on it, you'll be ready when the person shows up. Amen? So lift your hand with me. Father, we bless you. Thank you for your goodness, for your grace. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who lives in us, who rests upon us. Thank you for gifts that reveal. And we're just so thankful because you care about us so much that you reveal things so that we can avoid trouble, so that we can have insight, so that we can be a blessing. I just thank you for your people, and I pray that your hand would rest upon them and bless them, encourage them, strengthen them. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to ask the ushers to come, and we're going to have communion here momentarily. Alonzo's visiting his brother down in South Carolina. We want to pray for Cheryl. She's having trouble with a knee. So let's pray that God will heal his knee. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray for Cheryl. Thank you for your grace and your healing power. And we pray that you administer life to her knee so that that pain and discomfort would go away and that she'd be healed. We thank you, Father, for Al, who's gone to South Carolina to visit his brother. We just pray that you would minister to him by the Spirit of God, and that your purpose and plan would be done in his life. We're talking about Biggie. Father, we pray and thank you for healing his body, but we pray that you would establish purpose in his life, that he would understand that you created him for a divine assignment, and we pray that he would get up and get at it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Charles, I've been asking.
Father in heaven, we come before you, Father, with thanksgiving and praise, Father. Father, we thank you and praise you, Father, for what Jesus has done on the cross, the shedding of his blood, and also, Father, the healing of his body, that we heal every infirmity that will attack our bodies. And Father, we praise you, Father. We magnify and glorify you, eternal God, Creator of all life. Father, I pray that every soul here, Father, would understand the significance of what has taken place on the cross. And they would take this, the blood, the body, understanding the significance of it, Father, and with the right attitude. I thank you and praise you, Father, Spirit, who is present with us. And we magnify and glorify you, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray.
Amen. Jesus went into the upper room with his disciples to celebrate Passover, the table was set as prescribed by the law, and the bread, unleavened, was folded in a napkin, just as the law said it was to be. And Jesus went in there and sat at the seat that was reserved for the Messiah. Now, for those of you who don't know it, if you've ever been to a Jewish Seder, they still celebrate the Seder today. And tradition has it that they sit at a table, and at the head of the table, the seat is unoccupied, and the wine glass turned upside down, because they're still waiting for the Messiah. But I truly believe when Jesus went into that upper room, he sat in that seat. And the Bible says he took the bread and broke it, and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." And in the same manner, he took the cup, he blessed it, and said, "This is my blood." Paul wrote and said, "The blood of the new covenant." And he said, "Which is shed for many for the remission of sin." So the bread that Jesus broke represented his body, which was broken for us. Isaiah, hundreds of years before Jesus was born, saw what he would accomplish on the cross and said, "He is pierced for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And with his stripes, we are healed." So the bread represents his body broken for you, for your healing and your health. The cup represents his blood that washed away your sins forever. Amen. represents Jesus' body, which is broken for you, but it also is a sign of covenant. You are ever attached to Him. Let's eat together. Amen. The cup represents His blood that washed away our sins, but it also denotes covenant. Again, you are ever attached to Him. Let's drink together. Hallelujah. You know one thing that is so comforting about being in the family of God, being part of the kingdom of God, is that there is protection, there is healing, there is grace that's afforded to you just because you're part of the covenant. Because you're part of the family of God. I was reading a scripture earlier this week, and Jesus told His disciples that they were to go into villages, and He said to them specifically, heal the sick. He said, then tell them, the kingdom of God has come close to you. Well, I have news for you. The kingdom of God has not only come close to you, you're part of that kingdom.
Yes.
Through covenant. So healing belongs to you. Amen? So receive.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Would you stand, please?
Praise be unto the Lord.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well.